Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast, is brought to you today in part by Audible, offering anytime, anywhere listening of your favorite audiobooks with the biggest selection ever, and it's all backed by Amazon. I just finished listening to The First Rule of Punk by Celia C. Perez, and I absolutely loved this story of Malou navigating her way around moving halfway across the country, starting at a new school, and finding her own place in the world, even if it's not what Super Mexican, her affectionate name for her mom, thinks is best. The story is brimming over with heart and passion for punk rock, DIY, and stand up and say it out loud conviction. Perfect for any middle grade reader and an easy way to make that long weekend drive pass by in no time. Audible is offering a 1 month free trial to listeners of this podcast. Visit the show notes for this episode at allthewonders.com to start your free trial and support this podcast with the same click of a mouse or tap of a screen. Meet Sherry Miller. And a whole lot of princess hair. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 398 of the podcast with Sherry Miller. Princess Hair is one of those very rare books. A self-published book, so much worth its weight in gold that a publisher picked it up, allowing the book to reach an even greater audience. It's one of those very rare books that has a title that will ping on countless searches during school library visits. And when readers hold it in their hands, will offer something so different from what is normally handed to readers through the pages of a princess book. This self-affirming picture book shines a spotlight on the beauty and diversity of black hair, showing young readers that every kind of hair is princess hair. Your readers are going to love this book, and you are too. Here's episode number 398 of the podcast with Sherry Miller. Welcome to the podcast, Sherry Miller. I'm glad you're here talking with me tonight.
I'm glad you had me here.
I love meeting people in this way, Sherry, when like a book, a surprise book arrives at my doorstep and I read it and just immediately feel connected to it. It doesn't happen with every book, but when it does happen, I'm always eager to get to hear the story behind it. And that's how Princess Hair arrived to me. I know it's not your first story, but it is one that is the first one I've connected with, and I'm excited to read more from you. So yay, Princess Hair, congratulations on its, I guess we could say, its re-release. Yes. Out into the world.
Yes, it's rebirth.
It's rebirth! Yay! Well, why don't I first give you a chance to introduce yourself to the people listening, and then I want to jump in and talk all about Princess Hair.
Great. I don't know. My name is Sherry Miller. I'm an illustrator living in Brooklyn. And I love picture books. How much?
I think loving picture books is a great place to start. Have you loved picture books all your life, or are you a late in life lover of picture books? I sort of was a lover of picture books as a child, and then as an adult found and rediscovered them. And it's one of the reasons why I work with children today.
Yes, I've always loved picture books. Even growing up, I never grew out of it. So that's when I was like, I guess this is what I should do.
Oh, that's solid that you have grown with picture books. And so you have experienced them at all those different stages of your life. That's cool.
Yes, I have a whole library right behind me, actually, just full of books.
Do you have some of the books that you had from like being a baby, the original ones?
No, they're like lost.
Oh no.
I know.
What books have you loved through your life? What are some ones that you consider like the jewels of your collection, I guess?
I love like the weirdest books. Like my favorite book that I remember was called Turtle Time, which is it's about this little girl that found a turtle and kept it under her bed in a box that she made look like a house. And she was supposed to learn like turtles belong outside. They're not pets, you know.
It was an activist book from the very beginning.
Yes, but I loved
it. I believe I also had a book called Turtle Time, but it was definitely about the Ninja Turtles.
Not the same.
not the same, no. They live in sewers and eat pizza, things that are not supposed to happen to turtles.
But I did like Michelangelo, but just because he had an orange mask. I don't know
why. Your orange is your favorite color?
Actually pink, so I don't know why. I liked Michelangelo.
I was going to say that my son's obsessed with the color orange, but no, way to turn it on his head.
If I think it's because you love pizza.
Oh, see? There's no problem with that. So have you been drawing your whole life as well?
Yes, actually. I used to like press paper up against TV and like pause cartoons and try to trace the cartoons.
Yes! What stuff were you drawing? What cartoons were you watching as a child?
Like Sailor Moon, yeah. Doug.
Yeah.
Rugrats, stuff like that. So it's all like different drawing styles, which is probably very helpful if you think.
I'm sure of it. Did you continue both of those habits? You said you continued reading picture books as you grew up and continued drawing that same way, first imitating and or even tracing over what you saw on TV, getting that likeness, and then going to drawing your own stuff?
I did that mostly throughout elementary school, and then during junior high I started kind of copying manga. I actually used to make my own comic books, and I would like distribute them throughout my friend group, and they'd like pass them around. But it was mostly me kind of like copying scenes, like learning how to like work through panels and like set up scenes by looking at other manga. But it was very funny because it was the most like fluffy, like just love story where like a girl bumps into a guy that's kind of a jerk, but then they kind of fall in love. But everyone loved it in junior high.
Well, and you're almost taking an internship with the books that you're reading. You're almost using them as mentors to help you draw. So mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with remixing lots and lots of awkward love scenes, especially when you're at a very awkward time in life.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, go ahead.
I feel like I even do that now. Like even if I'm working on a book, I'll be like, I need to do forest scenes, and I'll just go look for like all the books I have that are like have forest scenes, and then to see the different ways that people did them, and like, or even just like still images. Like Pinterest is the best for just seeing like standalone illustrations, and everyone just like looks at it so differently, and I kind of try to process it through my head and like do it my own way.
I have a friend, an illustrator friend, that keeps different boards on Pinterest specifically for almost that exact same reason that you're doing, where she's doing studies of different animals or different things that ultimately she's going to do her own take on and draw. She uses them just as you would, like cutting out, like as a collage board, like cutting out stuff from magazines and posting on a wall to look at as you're drawing. She just mm-hmm. uses Pinterest. So I think that it's cool that there are so many different people using it for different ways. As teachers and librarians, I can say I use it to curate resources. I keep track of different stuff by doing it that way. I guess much like other people are using it, but not the social aspect, more of the what are the books I need to order next year? What are the ones that we're using for our mock Caldecott list? What are the, just as a central place to keep track of lists.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's a big pin board that you can get access to the whole internet.
The whole internet. So somewhere in there, in all of the pinning, I believe that you've got some studies of hair.
Yes.
Is that an awful, awkward transition? It might be. So you have this picture book coming out with Little Brown called Princess Hair that I know you'll share more about later that you had self-published first. But to read this book and to hear all about these different hairstyles and all about the way that it's you, no matter what, you know, hairstyle or style in general you take on, that it's you. You are that princess. You are that person, that beautiful, joyous creature. I love just how kind and loving and celebratory your art and your text are in this story. So I would love to hear from you. How do you talk about Princess Hair to others when you're sharing about this book you've made?
Well, when I started thinking about Princess Hair, it was like in 2014. I was myself starting to get into the natural hair movement, which is like a movement in the Black community, like rediscovering our natural hair, because for a long time we've like thought we had to straighten it for it to look nice and beautiful. But I felt like it always starts when you're a child, because like I remember when I was 12, like I was like, I'm an adult now, I want straight hair, like I'm not a kid anymore. And I felt like thinking about it is because all of the representations after like seeing people as children was like with straight hair. And I felt like women were rediscovering their hair, but we were kind of forgetting about the little girls who were like at some point going to see like a princess with straight hair, or I guess a doctor or a lawyer. But for now, we'll stick with the fantasy, because, you know, the fantasy realm or where they're still thinking. And I wanted to create like a self-affirming book that kids could connect to when they were younger, so they could have that core vision of their hair being beautiful and princess-like from like young, so they can grow with that.
I like that when you play as you do. I have two children, a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old, and you see them making up rules as they go. And some of those rules are defined by the friends or the shows that they watch on YouTube or whatever, that they hear this is right or this is wrong, or you could try this new thing or not. So to have an adult, in essence, reminding us other adults that read to children as well as kids that you make up that definition of whatever mm-hmm. you're supposed to be, of whatever you're supposed to look like. A doctor's going to look like you, and a princess is going to look like you. I think is a really strong way to lead. So you started going that way. Did you just like make the most massive list of hairstyles you possibly could? Or did you go through things that you associated with your own childhood? What was your approach to determining like what hairstyles would be in the book?
Well, I mostly looked at the internet, you know, again with my Pinterest board. And there's already kind of, you know, there are mostly set lists of like, oh, like 12 styles for natural hair. You know, it's like it was all laid out for me. I was like, so this is what women are looking at. Like, let's show the little girls this as well. Like, you could have dreadlocks. You could have a short afro, a big afro. You could just have braids. You could even have a blowout. You could do so many things with your hair. Like, it doesn't just have to be one thing.
And then you take those different styles and you connect them with, you pair them with rhyming things, activities. I'm just going to read it. It'll be easier if I read it to make sense than me describe it. But as I do, I would love for the listeners just to picture these girls with like the most inquisitive looks and the most joyous looks, especially with princesses with frohawks. Rock! That's my favorite favorite drawing. Princesses with curls wear pearls, and princesses with teeny weeny afros wear teeny weeny bows. You have shown children of all different races and all different interests doing all different things and just enjoying themselves and being in harmony with one another. I love that everyone's doing their own thing here. And this is a happy kingdom. Everyone's getting along in this kingdom and finding their place and feeling out what it means to not have to worry about the way you look, perhaps, but just get to worry about being a kid and enjoying the moment.
Yes, exactly. It's joyful.
Joyful. Were you a joyful kid, Sherry?
I like to think so.
Yeah? Yeah. Were you a princess? Were you into princesses?
Yes, I love princesses. I loved Barbies and Disney. You know?
Yeah?
What?
So let me ask, because I believe we're around the same age. As you were growing up, you talked here about the natural hair movement. But as you were growing up, did you see princesses that looked like you? Was that also part of the motive of the book, is to help show all children that association of being princesses as well?
Yes, because growing up, like, I didn't really think about it until I got older. But like, when I look back, I'm like, I didn't really see myself. Like, I didn't even think about my hair or like anything separate from myself. Wait, sorry, I'm confusing. I didn't think about like my actual hair, about the way it grew out of my head. Like, it wasn't even a thought to me to let it just not be straight. Like, I was just like, I need to change this. And like, these are thoughts that I feel like are ingrained in us without us knowing. And this was something I wanted to tackle. And also, when it comes to princesses, I think of like my goddaughter right now. If I say, like, she has long hair and she had it in a long braid, and I was like, oh, you look like Rapunzel. And she's like, no, I don't. Rapunzel has yellow hair. And I was like, but you have long hair that's like down to your butt. Like, that's the key thing of Rapunzel. But it's the same thing with kids. Like, you have to show them, because if you tell them something, they're going to be like, that's not true.
Right. That they have these certain qualifiers that for them defines what this character is, what this person is. All I keep thinking though is my daughter asking for all these different sorts of hair. So she's just got like wild hair. It's awesome. She has like sweet potato hair, and then she has broccoli hair, because mostly she likes to use food to pin up her hair, I feel, is the way we've been going. But there's something special for me about reading this book with her and allowing her to see all of these other girls smiling back at her, doing all these different things, and also all being princesses, and also all having this wild, beautiful hair, the frohawks. We're gonna see if we can get Jules to get a frohawk at some point. I read this book as an aspirational book, Cherie.
It's great. I also wanted it to give ideas, like, oh, mommy, can you do my hair like that today?
Right? When did the self-published book come out? Was it a year or two ago?
Yes, in 2014.
Okay. Oh, in 2014 is when it came out. Okay.
Yeah. So 3 years ago.
3 years ago. So since then, I'm sure you've gotten to go to bookstores or go to events with this book. Do you incorporate any sort of hair styling into your visits? Like that idea of, like, I'm hearing that going like, oh, let's all do frohawks right now. But to hear the idea of seeing a picture and then a kid going, let me try it like this, is mm-hmm. cool. So I wonder what those book events have looked like for you.
No, but that would be a great idea. I've never thought about that. That sounds really fun, actually.
You have a bonus book launch, right? A rebirth launch.
Yes.
You could totally do this.
I haven't really gotten to go on visits with this book, because mostly I've sold it on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten to see some people at events like Curl Fest. I've gone to
Curl which is a natural. Tell me about Curl Fest.
It's a natural hair festival in Brooklyn. It's crazy, like, afros from all over the city and probably from out of town as well come in, and then they just fill up this one section of Prospect Park, and it's insane. It's amazing.
That's awesome. But But so let me ask you this. Let me back up about self-publishing. This is not your first picture book. Am I right about that? Or was this the first one that you published?
This was the second one I self-published.
Okay. Why the route for you? Why choose to self-publish?
I felt like I was kind of bumping up against, you know, a little friction, but also when I look back at what I have self-published, I'm like, oh, it wasn't ready yet. So at the same time, giving myself an actual deadline to like do a complete book and putting it out there and getting feedback, I feel always helps me grow instead of just like sitting with something and waiting for like someone else to approve it. I wanted to get it out there and get eyes on it and like grow that way rather than like staring at what I've been working on.
Yeah, I hear that. Wanting to put it in front of people. I think it's the same reason why so many cartoonists make web comics, because there's something to being able to get your art out there and to edit it with your own voice. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, somebody, a Little Brown or somewhere, saw this book and chose to pick it up. How did that happen?
Corinne, actually, who we actually both came from the same island and went to an after-school art program together. But she's pretty much seen me grow as an illustrator, and I've been all like workshop some ideas with her. So this is what happens when you have like an editor as a friend.
Oh,
you know? Which also helps you grow. But she had seen it, and I'd been telling her about like the reception that it's been getting, and she was like going up in the industry as well. And she's like, we need to get these books seen, because she also sees the need for like this positive representation that everyone can see themselves in, you know? So it was just like serendipity.
And what's Corinne's last name?
Corinne Callender.
Corinne Callender of Little Brown.
Yeah.
You just happen to be friends with her. That's awesome. And neat that she, to have someone like that can give you feedback from a position of publishing what they do. Little Brown makes beautiful books. And so to have one, you able to go your own way and get it out into hands and see it connecting with people right there, but also her to see the potential in it to be able to reach an audience that you can't reach on your own, is awesome. I know all from people that even publish with larger houses that getting your voice out and getting connected with people is hard.
Mm-hmm.
So having help like that along the way, I'm sure helps a book.
Now, my one bit of connection that I have to the picture book world that's actually strong. But even like everyone at Little Brown has been so amazing. Like they've all been so excited about the book and my other books. And like it's just what anyone would dream of for people to be supportive of your idea and not just look at it as like, oh, maybe this will make money, but for them to actually be excited about it as like I am.
That's awesome to have not only your friend, but then a team of people that are feeling that. I would imagine it feels like they're taking care of your baby too, because you've got this book that you love and that you invested, you know, your own money into to publish it. So
yeah.
That's yay. I'm happy for you. That's wonderful.
It's great.
And is the book changing in any way in the way they're publishing it? Will it be the same number of pages? Are there spreads that have changed at all from an editor looking at it? Or have things stayed pretty much the same?
They're pretty much the same. They had a designer come in and do some really fun things with the text. So the text moves around more with the art, and I love it. Amazing.
Cool.
And it's going to be hardcover, which I'm very excited about.
Yes.
Because the one thing, you have to pay extra for hardcover. And I was like, oh, it hurts, but I wish it was hardcover. And now it's going to be hardcover with a book jacket, and I'm so excited.
Does the, what happens with your self-published books? Like when you sold the rights to Little Brown, was there, because I haven't talked to people that have gone through this experience, did you have to, at some point, I assume at some point you had to stop selling the online stock?
Yeah. So once I signed the contract, I just took it off of being saleable on Amazon, but the listing still existed. And then they are going to take over the existing listing. That's a tongue twister.
That was a good rhyme. Yeah, existing listing. I like it. So the Amazon's able to just take over the whatever it is, the record of it, and just replace it with this new information.
Yep.
That's awesome. Wow, well done, buddy. That's really cool. Do you have other things in the works with Little Brown or other publishers? Like, what's next? What's coming up next?
I'm currently working on my next book, Do Not Touch My Hair, which is also coming through Little Brown.
Nice. This is an all new story.
Yes. It's about boundaries and asking for permission.
Yes.
But in a fun way.
Can I just say, just to lay it out there, that I feel like it's a really wonderful thing that kids are curious. And adults are curious too, and that's fine. But I know that there's an issue with people like me. And by that, I know you know what I mean. And I can look in a mirror and know what I mean. With an interest to other people's hair. Because our hair tends to lay and feel the same. But any of my friends that have curly hair, or any of my black friends that have hair that's a different quality of mine, I know that, I understand that our hair feels different, but I'm hearing the title of your book going, yes, that alone, the title alone is one I can just maybe hand to people. Like, don't touch. No, thank you.
just hold it up in front of your hair.
Yeah. No, just don't, yeah. I have that with, I put pomade in my hair and I'm like, don't touch my hair. I know it looks shiny. Stop it. Don't touch it.
Yeah, there's a need to reach out when you haven't seen something before.
Right. It's flattering maybe to a degree. It's probably the same degree of when people see your baby and they just want to touch your baby, but you're like, you're a stranger. Don't touch my baby.
Yes, or your pregnant belly.
Oh, the belly. Yes. My wife didn't have that too much, but that is a thing that there would be people in the grocery store that would come from across an aisle and just put their hands on her, and I didn't know what to do. Like, how do I unhand her?
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that. Maybe that'll be book three. Do not touch my belly.
Yeah. Just be a whole list. Do not touch my new bag.
Do not touch my new bag. I'm excited to know that you have more stuff coming out. Not only just that it's coming out in the world, but that Little Brown is there supporting you. They're going to continue that along the way. That's really great. And also, as I said, I'm grateful that you're making these books. And I know that you're making them for everyone. But I'm especially grateful for the love and kindness that you're using in that voice to approach it. Because I feel like that's the way that we connect with one another, and the way that we learn. I'm just thinking of Do Not Touch My Hair, but I'm sure the entire book is not like, you are a jerk, don't touch my hair, I hate you, back off. I'm sure
it's very fun. There's some monkeys in there, there's a mermaid. It's light.
It's light. You have spent a lifetime reading children's books, and it's clear, Sherry, that it's just... you've absorbed it. You've absorbed what you've read and what connects in the stories that you want to tell. That's wonderful.
Yes. So thank you.
Do you, as you're making these books, are you able to still read, or is that when you're in writing an illustration, is that a headspace that you feel you need to clear?
No, I'm always buying picture books. Nice. Actually. Too many. They keep coming from Amazon. And I'm like, oh, I forgot I ordered that book. And then I have to sit and read it and look at all the pictures and every little detail.
Yeah. What are some picture books or some artists that you're really digging right now?
I just got Counting with Barefoot Critters by Tegan.
Tegan. I love that book.
I've been listening to your podcast, which has not been helping me. So I just keep ordering your bank books.
I'm so sorry. It's so delicate, that book, isn't it? Yeah.
It's so beautiful. And then when you order books on Amazon, they recommend other ones. I'm like, oh no, I have to get this one too.
Oh, your list to see that account that you've got those. I have the same thing, those recommendations where I'm like, how do I not order this? Oh gosh. So Tegan, any other things that you're digging?
Oh, one of my favorites also is Granddad's Island by Benjani Davies.
Benji
Sorry.
Davies. Benji
G Dave.
Davies, yes.
Sorry.
No. Benji Davies also did. Have you read? I'm gonna like recommend books to you. And don't buy this. Just go to your public library, Shuri. But have you read? He illustrated two books with Jory John. One called "Good Night Already" and one called "I Love You Already."
Oh, those
They're
I
really
just ordered
funny.
those.
They're really funny. They're really cute. I like his style. He uses really strong colors, especially in Granddad's Island. The whole thing is awash with beautiful colors. But in those, he has really like striking background colors. Yeah.
Yes, and it's such like a sweet story. I'm like, is this supposed to be sad or is this just goodbye?
I don't know when I read it. I always want. So I at All the Wonders we're doing these like list posts, these book list posts, and by the time this episode goes up, we will have done a post, two different competing book list posts, one called Golden Years versus Early Years. We made a list of books with characters in their golden years and a list of books featuring characters in their early years. And Granddad's Island is one of the ones we use in those golden years books. And I asked the same thing, like, I don't know if it's that it's like metaphorical for saying goodbye. Or is it just like, hey, Granddad's gotta go off and like have other adventures? But it's a sweet, sad, beautiful book for sure.
Not as sad as Boats for Papa.
Oh, Jessica's book. Oh boy. That book wrecks me. She's a good one too. You've got a whole lot of good people you're surrounding
I
yourself with. I like that. I like that a
Surrounded by
lot.
them.
Isn't it the best thing to do? I'm right now in my library. Literally surrounded by books, and it's wonderful. I wouldn't want it any other way.
It's great. I want another bookshelf.
Oh, yes. Well, the book comes out with Little Brown. Treat yourself to a bookshelf. That's a congratulation. Most people buy themselves different congratulation gifts. You buy yourself a bookshelf. It's great. Well,
I know I used to want to own a bookstore.
yeah.
I'll just to sit in the back and read books to kids.
Clearly, you're my kind of people. I love this. Maybe. You're in Brooklyn. Go see if you can pop by Books of Wonder and do some story times.
Yes, I'm
I've
very
been there.
excited for when this comes out so I can actually be like, because I've been in there. They know me.
They know
They're
me.
like,
Look, I have a book. You can smell the inside, the glue. It's amazing.
yes, like, it's here.
It's here. Well, congratulations on your book being here and being in those places that you love to surround yourself in, those great bookstores and libraries. It's gonna be everywhere. It's gonna be everywhere. I'm so grateful that you were able to put time aside to talk to me tonight, Sherry. I really loved your book, and I wanna say this to you honestly. I look forward to everything you've got coming in the future. You are one that I'm gonna be watching because of this voice and this joy and this love that you pour into Princess Hare, and I know all the other stuff I've seen online. Thank you so much for being there for our readers.
Thank you so much. This was great.
I'm gonna see by the time this posts, I'm gonna see a library full of children. I'd love to know to close our conversation, is there a message that I can bring to them from you?
If there's a story you want to hear and it's not out there, then write it yourself.
Podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 350 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. And Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with the books they'll love. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect any ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. and that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Melissa Ewy shares Pizza Day, her newest picture book. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.